Easter Sunday, a day of celebration. And we come to this Easter Sunday through Holy Week. We come from the despair of Good Friday. We come from knowing that Jesus was murdered because he advocated for people oppressed by those who should have been caring for them. Killed because he wanted to create a better world. A world where healing is the priority instead of the gathering of wealth. And those in power didn't want to hear that message. And we look at our own world and still see too many people who love power and wealth more than they love people. We see war. We see violence in our own streets. We see the hungry, the homeless. We have only to look out at the world, and we too begin to feel like the two Marys that made their way to Jesus' tomb so early in the morning, grieving, perhaps a little hopeless. And the Marys must have been wondering what happened when just a week prior, the people were cheering Jesus, and now he was dead and their movement was in disarray. It had been a momentous week. And what happened that morning, though, at Jesus' grave shifted the foundation of their lives once again. Matthew's gospel says there was literally an earthquake. Matthew wants to make sure that we do not miss how big of an event this is. The resurrection is earth-shaking. The powers of this world tried to stop Jesus, and he didn't stay dead. He had things to do. Even an execution could not stop Jesus' love for the people, the oppressed, the marginalized. And the Marys were told by an angel that Jesus was raised by God. Jesus was out of the grave on his way to Galilee, where he'd meet the disciples. And this was indeed earth-shaking, head-spinning news from despair to hope. Matthew says they were filled with awe and great joy. I can't even imagine what they must have been thinking. Did they believe the angel? We're not told they doubted, but just to be sure, Jesus himself then appears and gives them the same message. Don't be afraid. Meet me in Galilee. What did the Marys really think of all of this? Expecting to visit Jesus' grave and instead finding an empty tomb, an angel, the risen Jesus himself. What do we think of it? What does Jesus' resurrection mean to us? How are we to respond to this news that Jesus is out of the grave and on the move once again? Some people might want to debate whether this event was historical or not, whether the resurrection is scientifically possible or not. And I don't really ever want to go there, and it's not because I don't believe in science, because I do, but it's because when I think about the truth of the resurrection, it's not about that for me. Because when we declare that Jesus lives, we're declaring that God's love incarnate still exists in this world, still exists in our lives. We're declaring that hate cannot defeat love. We're declaring that all the evils in the world, all the thirsting for power and wealth and violence, will never in the end win over love and compassion and kindness. We're declaring that no matter what kind of grave we find ourselves in, no matter how dark life might seem, there's always hope in God. There's always the possibility and promise of new life. God will always raise us from the ashes, bring us out of the grave into that new life. And that, to me, is the truth of the resurrection. That's what it means to say Jesus lives. It means love lives. It means hope lives. This is the good news of peace proclaimed through Jesus, as Peter says in the book of Acts. It's a message for all people, as Peter also tells us. If we want this promise of new life, if we want God's hope and love in our lives, it's not about nationality or race or even what religion we are. No, Peter says, the good news, finding God, finding new life, is about doing what's right. It's about being like Jesus, doing good works, healing, loving our neighbor, helping each other with compassion and kindness. And I love that Peter begins his little summary of what Jesus means to him by saying the message is for everyone. And I like that he ends again with an invitation to everyone. He says, if you trust in Jesus, your sins will be forgiven. In other words, we all fall short of doing what's right sometimes. Even though God is always here with us, we all experience this kind of spiritual gap that needs to be healed. And Peter tells us that if we trust, if we believe in the love and teachings of Jesus and follow, then that gap will be healed, that we will be united with the divine presence, that we will have new life. And the risen Jesus asked the Marys for their trust as well. He greets them with a blessing of peace and then tells them, don't be afraid. And yes, he is consoling them and calming them, but he's also asking them for their trust. And when I asked a few minutes ago, how are we to respond to this news that Jesus is out of the grave and on the move? I think that's what Jesus is asking of us, to trust, to meet him again in Galilee, where his ministry began, that we too can begin again. That is, we can begin again to trust, to do what is right, to love as best as we can, whenever and wherever we can, to advocate for the oppressed and the marginalized, to love our neighbor. And that can sometimes be a frightening project, a frightening prospect. It's what got Jesus killed. The two Marys were both afraid and joyful at finding the empty tomb and finding and meeting the risen Jesus. And that's really a normal combination of feelings to have when we're facing life-changing events. If we think about our own lives, I'm sure there are times when we were both scared and excited. The prospect of a new job or a career change, getting married, buying a house, those can all be frightening and exciting at the same time. And Jesus' resurrection is that kind of life-changing, earth-shaking event. But we also know the resurrection is not possible without Jesus' death. Resurrection isn't really about avoiding death and hardship. Resurrection is about walking through the middle of death, or whatever turmoil we might find ourselves in, and coming out of the grave to new life. We've all walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Everyone experiences crises in their life, loved ones dying, personal difficulties, whatever it might be. And the death of Jesus assures us that God knows what it means to suffer. And the resurrection promises that no matter what happens in the short term, God walks through those dark times with us and will lead us out of the grave and into the light of new life. We might not know what that new life is going to look like. It might not be what we imagined. We might find ourselves learning to live with new realities. It might mean learning to live with a long-term illness or in a new career or in a new place or without a loved one. The disciples had to continue without the physical Jesus to lead them and to teach them. But what they did have was the Holy Spirit, and they had the risen Jesus, and they had each other. They had community to help them and to support them. And they had the joy and the hope and the love of God surrounding them. Because no matter what happens, God's love wins in the end. No person or power on earth, not even death, can kill the love of God. Nothing can stand between us and God's love. And that's the promise and the good news of the resurrection. And that promise should shake the world, for it calls us to liberation from the evils of the world. It says we're not subject to the powers of this world, but to the love of God. When the angels appeared and rolled back the stone to the tomb, those tough guards that were in front of the tomb were afraid and they fell to the ground. But the women were filled with awe and great joy. The promise of the resurrection makes the world tremble and fills those living in God's love with joy. The resurrection makes the world tremble because the triumph of love over hate is the recognition that we are all truly and unconditionally worthy of respect and dignity. And that challenges the foundations upon which the world is built. It says that racism and sexism and homophobia and all of the world's evils cannot stand against the love of God. And that's why the world's powers tremble. For those who follow God, it's a reason to be filled with joy. But the resurrection is not only an assurance of the triumph of God's love. In the midst of the resurrection, there is also a command to act. The angel commands the women to go and tell others the good news. And they don't stay at the tomb wondering what has happened. In their joy, they take the promise of the resurrection into the world, a world that both then and now desperately needs that message of God's love. And it's in going to spread that message to the others that the women encounter the risen Christ. We're too asked to go and tell of the good news that Jesus lives, that hope is alive, that hope can't be killed, that new life is found in God. Peter says those who had seen the risen Jesus were commissioned to preach and bear witness. Have we experienced new life in Jesus? Have our lives been blessed by God's love? And if so, then we are asked to share our experiences with others that they might have the same blessings. Now, when we start talking about sharing our faith and our experiences, some of us I know might immediately think of evangelism and see images of going door to door trying to convert people to our version of religion. And, you know, and I also know for some of us that's a pretty negative image. But that's not really what I think God is asking us to do. I like to think about it this way. If you went to the grocery store and discovered a really good beer, or if you stumble on a new, really good TV show, would you be selfish and keep those discoveries secret? Or would you share those discoveries with your friends so that they could share in the joy of that new beer, that new TV show? If they don't want to try that beer, that's okay, that's their call. But if we don't tell them about it, then that's on us. We're depriving them of a little joy in life. And I think that's all God wants us to do, is to share our joy and good fortune with others so that they may also be blessed. Now, I suppose it might be worth mentioning also that Peter says he was called to bear witness, that Jesus was the one set apart to be the judge of the living and the dead, that everyone who believes has forgiveness of sins. And that's a lot of churchy language in that sentence. And I'm not sure I know for sure what Peter was thinking or what he intended us to understand 2,000 years later. But when I hear that phrase, judge of the living, what pops into my head is another phrase, conviction of the heart. And that is, I kind of think of Jesus or the Holy Spirit as that inner guide or inner judge that helps me figure out what is right and wrong, what is loving and what's not loving. And this is the risen Jesus drawing me even closer to God and new life as long as I continue to trust and follow. And really, that's just another way of saying forgiveness of sins, being drawn closer to God. This is the risen Jesus that says he will meet the disciples back in Galilee, back to where his ministry began, where the work to create God's kingdom continues. Jesus calls us to walk in the middle of the injustices of the world and challenge them. Once we know what it is to experience new life through God's love and a hope that won't die, we're asked to share that with the world. And it might sometimes feel like a thankless task. And I think especially these last few years, our culture has seen a backlash against some of the progress that we've made toward justice. We've seen increased racism, increased attacks on lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and other people who don't fit traditional molds. We've seen increased attacks on women and their autonomy. But I think all of that is really a sign that the world is changing for the better. It's a sign that love, compassion, and justice are winning, because the evil powers of this world that seek to maintain their position and authority are lashing out in desperation, much like the powers that killed Jesus. And in the end, God's love will win. And so we declare that Jesus is alive. He walked through death and came out of the grave to new life. Hope is not dead. Love is not dead. Nothing in this world can kill the love of God. And Jesus walks with us through death as well. Jesus walks with us through every trial, guiding us through our darkness to bring us out of the grave and into new life. And so let us this day be filled with joy. Let us open ourselves to the promise of new life. May God shake our foundations with an understanding and experience of resurrection so profound that the earth beneath our feet trembles. May God fill us with a new life of joy and love so amazing that we can't help but go and tell about it, that we can't help but race to meet Jesus, to continue our work to build God's kingdom of peace and justice. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.